how he writes. He said, in the same way he took the cup, verse 25, also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's the new versus the old. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 33, talk about a new covenant that God was making. And that specific, the new is different than the old, obviously. You've got old and new. The new covenant that God, like the Spirit of God, would permanently indwell his people. Their sin would be forgiven. The old covenant was that God would pass over their sin, that they had to make continual sacrifices to cover their sin, and God in his grace would accept those continual time after time after time sacrifices. The new covenant is that the Messiah would come and die once. Once for all. Once for all, our sin is forgiven. Our guilt is dealt with. And he would permanently indwell those who were his. Notice in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit coming upon people was to move them to do powerful, mighty works for God. In the New Testament, in the New Covenant, the Spirit permanently indwells the people of God. A new nature. It's also a symbolic reminder of the blood that was shed. Remember that Jesus enacted and was the guarantee for the covenant. How do we know God was serious? I mean, God made this agreement a long time ago, made his promise a long time ago. How do we know that God is serious about this? He didn't talk to us. He didn't come appear to us and go, this is what I'm going to do, I promise. There's a lot about God that he does in this world that we can't fathom and understand what he's doing. He's so much bigger and beyond us. But God gave us proof to never, ever be able to question his love and commitment to us and that he makes good on his promise. We can trust the things that we don't know, the things that we can't fathom and understand. Why? Because we can look at one moment in time when God put his son on the cross and shed his blood. How do we know God's going to make good on it? Because his son shed his blood. It's our guarantee. And it's a reminder of the blood that forgives. Flip back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew and Paul use some similar words because they're going to convey some similar concepts. Matthew 26, verse 27 and 28. Again, this is the evening before he's betrayed. This is when he instituted communion. When verse 27, when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out, and hold on to poured out for many for forgiveness of sin. We take the cup, it's a reminder that God forgives sin. That if we trust his death on the cross, we place our faith in that, it's a promise that our sin is forgiven. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. But it's also not just the blood that forgives, it's the blood that cleanses. Flip ahead to Titus. Titus. In the New Testament, towards the middle of the New Testament, it's where all the T's come together. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. He saved us. Let's go start in verse 4. When the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Remember the blood of the covenant in Matthew said that Jesus said he poured out. Paul uses the exact same phrase that the washing of regeneration he poured out upon us through Jesus Christ. The blood that Jesus shed on the cross just isn't the basis of our forgiveness. but it's also the basis of our cleansing. Remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, there was a cleansing that went on, and it was a symbolic reminder of the cleansing that we have in Jesus. Jesus just doesn't forgive us of our sin. He cleanses us from our sin. It's all about having a new nature. In the past, apart from Christ, we lived in a sin nature. We were sinners from conception. We lived in opposition to God. Even people who are good and moral, but have no faith in Christ, they're living out their morality because it's what they've chosen to believe is right. It has nothing to do with faith in God. But when Christ, the Holy Spirit, comes into us and we are cleansed from sin, our heart is changed, our disposition is changed, our nature is changed, so that we have a propensity to pursue God, a propensity to please God, a desire to please God, an ability to live a life that is pleasing to God, something we can't do on our own. It's the new covenant. It's guaranteed by the blood of Christ. And it's that blood of Christ which we celebrate with communion that forgives us and cleanses us. And so as we're taking the cup, once again, humble thanksgiving. I like going to Google Earth because it's one of the greatest helps for hunters ever. It's like the scouting tool par excellence. And I love to go type in Nikiski, Alaska, and it rotates the Earth around, and then you zoom way into this tiny little spot. And then I think how small I am. How meaningless, I mean, in the whole scheme of things in the world, I mean nothing. Zero. And God died on the cross to reconcile me to Him? I am nothing. I am not even a blip on the timeline of history. If I were never to have been born, there would be a ripple effect. But in the whole scope of the world, in the history of the world, from creation until the end, what am I? And God reconciled me to Him. We need to offer Him humble thanksgiving that He cared enough about us. And because of the nature of what the cup signifies, cleansing and forgiveness, we need to confess our sin. You know, Jesus, your sin was cleansed once for all when you believed in the work of Jesus on the cross. But that doesn't mean that you don't sin anymore. And sin is rebellion to God. Sin breaks that relationship, that intimacy. Sin is offensive to God. It's sin that God will judge in us as we live. 1 Peter 4 says, it's time for judgment to begin with the household of God, to judge us, to make us more Christ-like in this earth and our time here. We need to confess our sin and take our sin seriously, but also it's a plea for help. As Hebrews 4 talks about coming before the throne to receive grace and mercy to help. God, I need you because I'm still a sinner. I still sin. I have my temptations. I have the things, my weaknesses, my struggles. Thank Him, confess your sin to Him, and cry out to God for help because you know how weak you are. I know how weak I am. Again, let's spend some time praying as Rose and Jeff play. And when you're ready, come up and take the cup, and then we'll take it together.